shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm joined, as always, by Cody Wolf.
I'm going to take you upstairs and violate you like a parking meter.
I knew it. The most disturbing quote. How, I don't know
in
how
any Rocky movie.
In any movie you've watched for this. I paused and said, are you kidding me? Like,
his kid is right there.
His kid is right there to the point where his kid actually comments on it.
Right.
It was nuts.
Very creepy.
Okay, sorry. Jack Estabrook.
Hey, look, it's Tommy Gunn. Yeah. Hey, it's Tommy Gunn. Like, we don't know who this guy is, so we're going to have Paulie keep saying his name. Like, hey, I know him.
My other option was, let's put some hustle behind that muscle.
Oh, yeah. This, by the time he'd said that twice, I was like, please don't say that again. Yeah. Oh, our movie this week is 1990s Rocky V. I don't know why. In my memory, I remember this being a year or two later. But I guess to set the stage a little bit, because I'm a little older than you guys, for where things were, there was a Rocky and a Stallone backlash that was kind of already in swing as this movie was coming into theaters and culminated basically in the release of this movie. I mean, the timing could not have been worse. You know, Rambo 3, I think, had already come out. It was poorly received, probably, to be kind.
Yeah.
There was just, it was kind of like that lame joke that anybody would make, be like, hey, how many Rockies is Stallone going to make? You know, is he going to be fighting in a wheelchair in Rocky 18? You know,
yeah, getting close to that now.
We are actually.
It was a joke that was in movies, too.
Yeah. It was, and then this movie comes out and bombs, and it was like, oh, you know, this. It was a rough time. I think it is fascinating to talk about, and I'd love to get everyone's thoughts right off over the top here. It's not the worst movie we've ever done.
Certainly not.
But it's not good.
No,
especially when you're talking about you're comparing it to the other Rocky movies. It's just not a good one.
It's embarrassing compared to the other Rocky films.
Right. And I would argue that I think some of the only redeeming qualities it has is that we have it built into us a little bit to care about some of these characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like if this was a complete standalone movie, we had no connection to anyone, I would be shocked by how terrible it is.
Yeah.
But the kind of inherent warmth you have for some of these people... It's
hard not to tear up when you see Rocky and Adrian kind of down in their luck and they're struggling, even in a movie that's not well done or a story that's not well told, because it's the Balboa family.
And it makes you think of the movie is obsessed with its own past,
right.
You know. So, and it's constantly reminding you of things you like more than this movie.
Yeah, that's a mistake. Never do that. Never make us wish to watch another movie.
Yeah, but it is.
I want to watch Rocky 2 now.
Like,
or whatever.
I didn't like this character in these other movies.
I feel like that's all of the Rocky movies, though. They all kind of, it's like one long story, and they all kind of look back at the others. But this one's kind of a downer, too, because it's like kind of undoes everything that's been built up to this point in the film series.
Yes. So let's get into it. It starts in kind of Rocky fashion. It basically starts with Rocky IV. Yes. We get a Rocky IV recap over the credits. And I'm looking at my notes, and I was remembered of our Rocky IV episode where we talked so much about, like, God, there are so many face punches. I mean, there's so much, so many direct hits to faces. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow. And I had kind of forgotten some of the storyline of this movie, but I'm like remembering, like, good Lord, you know, as we joked about it, like, how did he survive this? Well, you know, the montage is really insane because it seems to be like every direct face punch that Rocky took in Rocky IV is in this montage.
It's like they shot one punch from 72 angles and then just cut it.
Yeah. And then I thought of, oh, this is kind of the Justice League movie to, or no, this is Batman, Superman, Dawn of Justice to Man of Steel, where the thing that we made fun of the previous movie, in Man of Steel, everything that gets made fun of is how many people, innocent people died thanks to Superman.
Yeah.
And then that actually becomes a plot point in Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
This was like the thing everyone laughed at Rocky IV about was the amount of times he was punched directly in the head. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, we're actually going to make that a plot point in Rocky V.
That actually mattered.
Yeah, that actually mattered. He has brain damage from it.
But does he?
Well, yeah, that, I mean, it's so inconsistently handled, even scene to scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it felt like on some days, Stallone was like, hey, you know, John, I think I'm supposed to have brain damage. And on other days, he was like, not today.
I was reading on the IMDb that, I don't know if you read the IMDb trivia, but that he basically, as they were filming or writing or whatever, he was going to have more of the brain damage stuff in there.
Right.
But then he realized it was too sad, so they stopped. So I don't know if some of that still made it into the movie. Because there is some flash of that where like he's like repeating himself sometimes, or he's not remembering things or stuff like that.
Well,
but
the kid says, his son says to the Pauly character after his inappropriate hitting on Adrian, he's like, do you think Dad's acting a little funny? Right?
Yeah.
Because I think that was supposed to be more of a thing, and they
wanted to focus on the
fight. Well, they kind of scaled back because it was sad to see, like you said, this character you've known for all these years, and then you see him and he's, you know, basically losing his mind and he's not what he was. It's kind of sad.
It is kind of hard.
And, so you don't want to see that.
And you're right, because I looked into that even a little bit more. They were dramatically reworking this movie while they were shooting
it. You can tell, yeah.
Because it was scripted. Not only was it scripted, while they were shooting it, Rocky was supposed to die.
Right.
In the end.
Wow.
He was not going to be the victor of the street fight in the ring. My ring is outside. he was going to die. And they changed that, but you really feel it in the movie because scenes, it's just like a patchwork of like, well, I guess this scene must have been shot after they decided that he was going to live and we need to play down the brain damage, or maybe this one was shot before and it doesn't, nothing really goes together. But it starts off with him. I mean, I kind of do like this about the Rocky movies, how they start immediately after.
Yeah, like I was saying, it feels like one long story, the whole
series.
I do
like that. Yeah. The only one that has the break is Rocky Balboa.
Except in this one, it creates a big, I don't know if you would say mistake.
We're going to get into that.
A very perplexing.
Yes, it raises a very concerning issue.
Yes. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. And he's like post-fight with Drago, like Rocky is having he's clearly had like a traumatic brain injury, and they're actually kind of, to this movie's credit, they're trying to portray that on screen as he's showing like what we would now consider as serious brain injury symptoms. His hands are shaking. I think they were trying to reflect a little of the world where Muhammad Ali at this point we knew had Parkinson's. Yeah. And I think this movie was kind of aware it had to touch on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we get that, and I'm like, interesting, okay. But then we go right into what we have established on the show. If you want to attend something really nuts, go to a press conference in a Rocky movie, because it's pretty much a guarantee off the wall things are going to happen.
You're going to be yelling.
And the exposition will be advanced in an insane way.
I want to see you in the ring with the redhead in the front.
Yeah. This press conference is nuts.
You gotta tell us you're gonna retire now. He didn't say anything about retiring.
Yeah, nobody. And also, why do they invite Pauly to their press conferences? He's constantly making inappropriate statements.
Pauly's the worst in these movies. Like, I love Pauly, but he's just the worst.
He is the worst. In this one, it's really bad.
Yeah.
There was a point where I have multiple times in my notes, I'm like, why is he even in this movie? Everyone seems to hate him.
Yeah. And it gets even worse in Rocky Balboa, I think, because he's just
Have you seen Rocky Balboa? No, I have not.
But in Rocky Balboa, you haven't seen Rocky Balboa?
No, I have not.
That is like really, really good. I argue it's the second best one. I do need
to see it.
This one kind of sets up Rocky Balboa a little, so that's the one good thing to come out of this movie.
Indeed. Pauly finally, I think, got a true definition in Rocky Balboa, where he is kind of this loser and nobody likes him, and he also hates himself.
Right.
But because Rocky is so, some might say, naive, he likes everybody. He sees the good in everybody. There is something in Pauly that he likes. That's why he keeps him around. And he
Reminds him of Adrian.
Yes.
But
in all these movies, most people would be like, Jesus, Paulie. I mean, right. We don't hate you, but at the same time, what the fuck, Paulie? You know, it's like, why does he keep him around?
Well, everybody is like glaring at Paulie all movie long. Adrian seems to hate Paulie.
Well, I mean, he messes up their life pretty good.
Yeah. I mean,
he just keeps hanging around.
It's a mess.
They should have shown what happens to the robot, by the way, when they lose all their stuff.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I know. They really should have followed up on that robot. So, this made me laugh because they actually show like security escorting Rocky into this press conference. Like, this is very secure.
Yeah.
This is this huge thing.
Just got off the plane from Russia.
Yeah, after they land from, they just get back from Russia.
Yeah, they get off the plane. It's like, right off the plane. Hold on. Like, police officers are like, hold on, Mr. Balboa. We're going to get you into this press conference. But the press conference is so insecure that moments later, knockoff Don King is on the stage
with a microphone.
And a challenger for Balboa.
Yeah, I mean.
So basically, it's, you want to fight my man, Rocky, now that you're back?
Yeah.
But Adrian knows about the brain damage and is trying to allude to the fact that Rocky should retire. Rocky doesn't say he's going to retire. She says it.
Well,
and everyone gets pissed that he won't say whether or not he's going to retire. But meanwhile, there's a challenger.
It gets even nuttier than that because they give all of, and they did this in Rocky IV too, all of kind of the nuttiest lines get given to reporters where at first a reporter says to like knock off Don King, like, hey, isn't this bad timing? Right. And it's like, yeah, it kind of is. Yeah. But then the tone immediately shifts to, and I had to write some of these down, where Jack said they're asking if he's going to retire. And a reporter's like, isn't this a question of professionalism?
I didn't understand that.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Doesn't somebody say, come on, give us something good to write?
A guy literally says, we need to hear about this now. I have been to many sports press conferences in my life. I've never been like to this. One like this.
You've never yelled at Boeheim, I need to know this now.
Oh, yeah, it's really.
When are you going to retire?
Just so aggressive and unsettling.
So, also, this is what I was alluding to earlier. So, when they get off the plane, he looks for his son. His son's there to meet him.
Yeah.
And his son runs up. Oh, hey, Dad. His son is aged 5 years in. I don't know how long they're in Russia, but it wasn't 5 years.
Well,
no. It was a weekend, maybe.
Yeah, this is the problem when they want to do this, because their son in Rocky IV, and I had to look this up, is nine.
He's nine, yeah.
Yep. Nine.
Yeah.
But to give a precursor to like things that are going to happen later in this movie, if I saw a nine-year-old that started smoking, my reaction would be a little stronger than Rocky's in this movie.
But I don't think he's supposed to be nine in this
movie,
though.
Now he's supposed to be like 12
or 13.
He's supposed
to be... like 14.
14, yeah.
He's supposed to be that age. And in Rocky IV, he's supposed to be nine.
Yeah.
Because there's that shot, and, you know, as he's fighting, his son's watching him, you know, on TV. And he's like, oh, this adorable 9-year-old, you know, watching his dad on TV. And then he goes to pick him up at the airport, and he's 14 years old.
I wish they had just, they could have done a time jump, and it wouldn't have hurt the movie. It kind of would have helped the movie. I don't know why they didn't.
Yeah, this if you're going to age a character that much,
especially
you need to
have
a jump.
Especially if you're going to have the money go dry up. Why not give yourself like a 5-year time skip?
Sure, absolutely. And that would have made that plot point a lot more credible if there was a little more time.
Right.
Yeah. You know, okay, so then, we get the most disturbing line in any movie we've ever watched.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to take you upstairs and violate you like a parking meter.
Yeah. Which Adrian says, it'll cost you a quarter.
I mean, this was a nightmare. I'm watching this, I'm like, this, I don't even know what to say. Like, that isn't a line that belongs in any movie ever. Somebody thought of that, wrote it, you know,
put it in the movie.
And Sylvester Stallone was like, I'll say it. You know, I mean, it's fine. You know,
sure
maybe I
wrote
it.
Yeah, it's the playful Rocky. Yeah, you say that to Adrian.
It's funny. It's like a funny joke, you know.
Did he write this one? Because it should be said that.
I think he
and
did
he's
write
saying
this
it
one.
To Adrian, it who's, again, that. One of these, like, characters that you kind of take ownership of. It's like a member of your family. And you're like, Rocky, don't. Rocky and Adrian about getting it on is like your parents talking about getting it on. It's weird, even though they're fictional characters played by actors.
Well,
it's
not,
weird. Do you get it?
They're not really talking about getting it on. They're
talking about violating
her. Yeah,
talking about violating
like
her,
assaulting
you know?
Her.
It just makes me feel a little unsettled because it's Rocky and Adrian. No! Yeah.
But it should be said that this is directed by John Avildsen.
Who directed the first one.
And who directed the first three Karate Kid
movies. Yes, he did.
Yeah. and I would like to say, too, because this is the first time I'd seen this movie all the way through, and I knew that Sage Stallone took a lot of grief for this movie. Stage Stallone and Sofia Coppola, because Godfather 3 came around the same time, and this kind of like
putting your kids in movie thing
really got bashed at the time. I think Stage Stallone's pretty good. I mean, I think it's a bad script, but I think he
conveyed what he needed to convey. And,
I think he was a pretty naturalistic actor. For what it's worth, I also think Sofia Coppola is not bad in Godfather 3. She is not the movie's problem. I mean, the movie has much bigger problems than her pretty good performance. I kind of liked him.
He's not the issue with the movie at all. And I like that it was Sylvester Stallone's actual son.
Yeah.
Playing, you know, I mean, that added, especially made it less creepy when he was kissing him on the mouth and stuff.
Yeah, that did make it a little more okay.
Yeah.
We get this weird quick scene where somehow they had given power of attorney to their accountant.
Paulie signed something over that he thought was an extension on their taxes because they were out of the country.
Right.
But he didn't read it, and he granted their accountant power of attorney, and then that accountant, I don't know, squandered the money somehow in bad investments.
Yeah, like realty investments or something, and he thought he'd be able to like flip it and get the money back before they ever knew it was gone. Before they got back, but it was all squandered and gone.
In Paulie's defense, the idea of turning power of attorney over to an accountant is not the craziest idea. I mean, especially for famous people. Like, I feel like Paulie is taking a little too much of the blame in this scene where, like, wait a minute, no.
Well, I think the issue was that it wasn't his money. It was Rocky and Adrian's money, and he did it without them.
Yeah.
But he didn't realize what he was doing, too, at the same time.
So. Yeah. But Stallone also would have had to have signed the form.
I think that he had Stallone sign it, but, you know, or Rocky sign it, but Rocky is an idiot and didn't know what he was signing either. He just signed what Paulie told him to sign.
Yeah, I felt a little bad for Paulie in this scene because I'm like, wait a minute, I think the accountant is the person who's really the problem here.
Yeah.
And there's like a throwaway line where they're like, oh, are you going to do anything to go after our money? He's like, and their attorney's like, oh, yeah. We certainly are. Where I wanted to be like,
don't worry,
you are not.
But Paulie makes it worse because he's not like, oh man, I'm sorry, I didn't know. He's like, I know it, shut up, I'm going out drinking.
Yeah.
That's like his reaction to it.
He had the line, I thought one of you was going to start the podcast with this of, I'm not no tomato can you kick around. Okay, sure.
I think my favorite, I had another Paulie line that I was thinking about doing, which was, it's the fittest of the survival, he says later on.
Yes.
Paulie's kind of an idiot too.
That was pretty good. So then we get the scene where Stallone's character is diagnosed with brain damage by the doctor.
Yes.
It's an interesting scene that then the movie never really pays off or moves forward with fully, but it's an interesting idea of like, oh wow, like here's this iconic character who you know, has brain damage, you know, boxing could kill him.
Yeah.
Like,
but now he's in a financial position where he has to box to make his money back.
Obviously he's saying about boxing is because he's like, if I just do like, because okay, so there's this character who came in during the press conference and he wants him to fight this character, this boxer, Union Cain.
Yeah.
Because Union Cain wants a shot at his title.
Yeah.
So he keeps, he's like, okay, if I just take this fight with Union Cain,
yeah,
I can make money. We can have more money again. You know, maybe not what we had, but we'll have some money. So Adrian's like, I'll let you fight if you go see a doctor first and get the okay from a doctor.
Right.
So that's why they go to the doctor and he finds out he shouldn't be fighting.
It is not okay. Right. Yeah. And we do, and I have a note here for once in this series, Adrian's wet blanket routine is right on and you know, is more appropriate. I mean, she's sort of the wet, they delegate her, and I'm not knocking her, they delegate her to wet blanket status in many of the sequels.
Yeah, but I feel like I see that differently now, like the older I am, you know, like as a kid or younger, you know, a teenager, whatever, I was, you know, she's the wet blanket and he just wants to fight and she's not letting him stuff. And now I'm like, well, like they are married and she doesn't want her husband to get his face punched in. Now that they have a kid and
go to a Soviet country and fight a guy who just killed his best friend.
Right. She doesn't want this anymore. She just wants to have the family. She doesn't want him to keep putting himself in danger.
For him to be near dying or fighting like a robotic, you know, Ivan Drago. Well, it is true. She gets
through that finally and now he's like, I'm going to go fight again. This young, you know, fast box or whatever. And she's like, no, just.
It kind of shows the problem with all these sequels to a crazy boxing movie of like, yeah, where else could Adrian go? I mean, you know, it's problematic. Right. You know, yeah, it's kind of probably where they maybe made too many sequels. I don't know. And now, okay, so now the movie kind of settles into what the movie is. Stallone is back in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's broke, a lot of stuff.
Wearing the same costume from the first movie because, the Bucks.
Hey, it still fits.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's a hat, dude. It should... Nah, generally, hats the gloves continue to fit adults. Yeah. Like, unless you've been doing so many steroids that you have a Barry Bonds situation, like your hat should still fit.
When he said that, I was hoping Adrian would have a line like that. Like, well, yeah, your head didn't get any bigger or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they moved back to the same neighborhood they lived in before.
Yeah.
You know, so he's in the same streets, seeing the same people, and they all love him because he's Rocky.
He's Rocky. He goes to a dive bar. Everyone's loving him. He goes back to Mickey's gym, which is now post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's probably the best scene in the movie, though, is the Burgess Meredith cameo.
I
was getting a little choked up. I like that he was in it, but I was feeling it.
It just didn't work because he's so much older. He was supposed to be him from the first movie, but he's clearly aged 10 years and he's like shaking and stuff, and it's kind of
sad. I assumed it was like him from the third movie before he died.
No, because he's talking about fighting Apollo.
He's talking about fighting Apollo.
So it's either the first or the second one, but I think it's the first one because they're in the gym.
I mean, I'm all right with it. I love Burgess Meredith.
It didn't work in the context of what they're trying to do.
Now, do you know, and I don't know if you know this, Cody, do you know what the original use of this footage was going to be? I don't know if this came up on IMDb trivia. No. The Burgess Meredith footage.
This so is they shot put a different this scene.
Well, it also is used later on. Originally, the first time you're going to see Burgess Meredith was as Rocky is concussed and near death at the end of the movie. You are going to see Burgess Meredith as what I can only describe as a force ghost on top of the
He's
bridge.
The angel on his shoulder.
Yeah, and that he was going to be talking to Rocky as Rocky is like wavering in and out of near death.
Oh, okay.
And then, as again, this movie was being heavily reworked as they were shooting it
to give it a more
and editing it.
Ending.
So then they kind of were like, "Well, let's bring in Mickey a little earlier."
Gonna touch touching memory instead.
Yeah, yeah, it works.
I think it worked.
I think this does work.
It works for what's good. I just seeing him. Yeah, I don't know.
They do something. They do something similar in Rocky Balboa. That's really good.
Yeah,
similar. I don't want to spoil it because he hasn't seen it.
Trying to remember
it.
Well, I liked this. This is where I was like, this movie's kind of going in. This is an interesting idea. There are pieces here. There are interesting pieces that never quite come together, and that kind of like get more disconnected as the movie goes on. This is, I think this is where the movie is at its height. This is probably the peak of when this movie is working for me. It's this scene in the gym as Rocky is trying to figure out what his life now means.
Right.
Yeah.
This stretch of the movie is because it's more of a character
thing. But how he gets to Philly has always been a problem for me. But
But he's trying to...
Once he's there.
He's remembering his past because that's where he came up, and he's remembering, you know, all these things that got him to where he was, and his kid is readjusting because his kid has always been a rich kid, and now he's adjusting to being, you know, in the slums or whatever. And so this part of the movie does work in that sense.
Yeah.
And this is all stuff that Rocky Balboa did better too, if you see Rocky Balboa, because it's him remembering, because in Rocky Balboa he's old, so he's reminiscing about his life and his son's, he's got a strained relationship with his son now. And
watching this really made me say, my dad loved Rocky Balboa, and in watching this I was like, I gotta see Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
I
mean,
it's a much more worthy end to the story
than
Rocky V was.
Yeah. So then, Knock Off Don King, I think, is it George Washington Duke?
George Washington Duke, yes.
Okay,
yes.
George Washington Duke calls Adrian, and Adrian is just, like, trying to shut this guy down.
Right.
You know, she's just like, and I would also note, there are some nice things to say about this movie, and I think this guy who played George Washington Duke is probably a good actor, and he probably sent some things. This is a cartoon performance.
Yes. The thing I knew him from is, I'm pretty sure it's the same guy, he plays one of the incarnations of Jason. And
yes.
Jason goes to hell.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. I recognized
he's
him.
He's the guy.
From.
He's the coroner who like eats his heart and then is like the first killer. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So I wouldn't say he's been in great stuff, but
well, maybe I mean he's
beyond probably, that. Maybe, but those
I
two,
feel like he's probably a better actor than this.
Oh yeah.
This part. I mean this character of George Washington Duke makes Cobra Commander from the G.I. Joe cartoon feel nuanced and subtle. I mean, this, I don't even know how he did this, but he must have been on set for weeks, and how he did this cartoon performance every day. Like,
well, I think that it's like, if you look back, like Rocky III, like Mr. T is basically a cartoon performance. You know, it's like, yeah, it would have worked in one of those Rocky movies, but this one's trying to be more serious and, you know.
And it's trying to play off of Don King. Right. And it's trying to do that, but it's like, it does not help
and
this movie.
There's sort of this metaphor that they're trying to pull off is the angel and the devil, of course.
Yes.
With this new character, Tommy Gunn, and then Rocky's sort of the angel, and George Washington Duke is like the devil. And the one represents sort of the money and the gambling and the corruption of boxing. And then the other is, let's just fight with our heart and spirit and stay in shape. And it's about respect. And it's about taking on the other guy who's also got demons and, you know, sportsmanship.
Yeah.
They didn't do it well.
But they didn't do it right. And so now we get this. Just before we meet up with Tommy Gunn, there's a really odd scene of... That felt like they just needed to pad the movie or something, of Rocky walking around the neighborhood with his son and Polly, who at one point...
Walking to school.
Yeah, walking him to school. And at one... I mean, Polly, by the way, is wearing this crazy, like, satchel, but he's wearing it around his front, so it almost looks like a kangaroo pouch.
Yeah.
Full of booze.
Probably, yeah. And like, he's so disrespected at one point, even Rocky's like, oh, hey, Polly, I gotta talk to my son. Can you walk, like, I don't know, like 6 feet behind us? And I was like, really? Like, really? And someone's like, yeah, no, seriously. Can you walk like 6 feet behind us? I don't care to have you listening in as I talk with my son about inconsequential things.
I know he's talking about, like, the scams or whatever, like, don't get scammed. And which kind of comes back later.
Like, basic kind of, like, young kid stuff. But, you know, if I was the kid, I'd be like, why can't Uncle Polly hear this? Like, this might benefit him, too.
Right. You should probably hear some of this stuff.
Yeah. And he drops his kid off at school. Mm. There's kind of, like, a movie within the movie about, like, his son's, like, issues with bullies and stuff.
Which he does sort him out.
Yeah,
it kind of just, because it lends itself to this whole thing where, because once Tommy Gunn comes in a minute here, Rocky is really like all in on Tommy Gunn and teaching Tommy Gunn everything and managing him. Whereas, you know, his son's like needs his father to guide him through some tough times, and his father's just not there for him because he's all in on Tommy Gunn.
Right. Again, an interesting idea that's like clumsily handled.
Yeah. And it just makes Rocky, for me at least, feel like almost a villain in this movie because he's a horrendous husband and a horrendous father.
Here's a question, and this is a comment.
Pride lead to dumb decisions.
It does. Well, this here's a comment that starts coming up in my notes and comes up pretty much on the regular, like every like couple lines. Who is the main character of this movie? Like, who is the protagonist of this movie?
I mean, for most of it, I would say the kid is.
I would agree.
Yeah. I would agree that it's arguably his movie.
But could it be Tommy Gunn because he's on the rise and then he makes the decision that turns the dramatic decision?
Yeah, he was always kind of a tool though.
It's really movie because it is kind of the kid's movie, but from the point where the kid knocks out the bullies, it's like, okay,
I think it's still him until they make up.
And then
the rest of the movie is kind of like, I guess it's Rocky, but it's like...
It's weird. Like, this... It's just structurally, it's weird.
Because, Rocky just seems...
Because Rocky like is just world. Kind of floating through the movie. The kid is kind of at least has a storyline. Tommy Gunn feels at times like he could be the protagonist, but the movie actually then... Because of where the movie is going, they don't actually want him to be the protagonist. Right. He's ultimately an antagonist. It's structurally, it's just real weird.
Yeah.
Which is fine. So, all right. So Tommy Gunn gets introduced in one of my favorite introduction scenes of any major character in a movie, where he walks up to Rocky and literally like vomits his backstory onto Rocky. Hey, Rocky, right. I'm Tommy Gunn. I'm 18. I've been in a bunch of fights. I came from the South. I'm from Oklahoma. Do you want to, can I work with you? And I was like, whoa. Like, even Rocky's like, hey.
Exposition.
Hey, kid, that's a lot of words. Right.
You know? I don't hear so good.
Yeah.
But what makes it even better then is that at the same time, George Washington Duke comes like pulling up out of nowhere.
And
he starts trying to sell Rocky on fighting Union Kano, I think is there. I think he's in the car. Hmm. And then Adrian, who's now working across the street, because it's outside of Mickey's gym. Hmm. So Adrian's across the street because he's working at the pet store again. So she comes out and they start fighting. And the whole time, it's like this big fight in the middle of the street. And the whole time, Tommy Gunn's like hanging out in the background, like waiting.
Like literally, like the actor is like figuring out what to do.
He's like, and then like this whole group of people fighting like moves at one point. They start trying to walk away and like he follows them.
Yeah.
And then it all like wraps up this big fight. And then like Rocky's, he's fighting with George Washington Duke. And then he drives away. And then he's fighting with Adrian. And he's all upset because Adrian's working at the store again. He didn't know that. And so Adrian goes back, and then Tommy Gunn like comes back up. He's like, "Hey, can I talk to you now about my?" It's like,
"Hey, I'm from Oklahoma."
Yeah, freaking idiot.
I won 21 fights.
Like, read the room, guy. Like, yeah, come back tomorrow.
Not the time. It's so, and it made me laugh because again, I'm like, this is also a movie. Like, this is scripted. Yeah. They didn't have to do this.
Yeah,
this
he could have come, up after all this happened.
No, they didn't. Yeah. Like, why not just have Tommy Gunn show up to the gym and be kicking ass and then have Rocky be like, whoa, whoa, who's that guy?
Right. Sure. Right? Yeah. Automatically better, automatically a better introduction than anything in this movie right there.
Yeah. So Tommy Gunn wants Rocky Balboa to basically train him and manage him.
Right.
But he goes about it the wrong way completely.
Well, because they get Tommy into the ring and
so,
he's...
Okay, my question though is, so does, like a beast. Did Rocky open this gym back up? Because he went to the gym and it was abandoned. And then all of a sudden he's like,
There's a throwaway line that they still owned the gym because Mickey had left it in his will.
Oh, okay.
There was something very weird. Like, Mickey had left it to like Stallone's son or something in his will or something like that. So they did own the gym.
So he just
started. Why didn't he leave it to Rocky?
I guess because then that would have worked into that the accountant was like controlling all their stuff.
That's how it was protected from the accountant. Okay,
it was such a strange line.
I remember
they had to work that around that. So Tommy comes in and he's like, "Hey, can I do some boxing? Let me show you what I got."
And Polly's like selling stuff at the front door, like cups that Rocky drank out of or something like that.
an awkward bit of comic relief.
Yeah.
I did laugh at that. I laughed at it that like, this does not belong in this movie, but
it was bizarre.
Yeah, but it was sort of funny. Yeah. It's like a joke that they had for Rocky IV that they then like didn't include and brought into this movie.
You can see the slip box right there.
Yeah,
I'll pay you $5. $10. I'll pay you $5. Like, and the cup looks nasty. Like, what?
Yeah. So Tommy is just nuts, and like he fights like a psychopath.
Yeah, he's sparring with this guy, and he just like won't let up.
Yeah, he's gonna like kill him.
Yeah.
And then Rocky makes a decision that he very quickly turns on, and that is basically like Obi-Wan Kenobi or Yoda. You're full of too much anger. I can't train you.
Right. Right. Yeah, and it's kind of an interesting idea. Which when we get to the end of this movie, as I was watching, I was like, I wonder if Jack is going to come up with the alternate ending that I think this movie should have.
I
think this movie actually builds to there is a more interesting and natural ending to this movie, but they don't go that way.
Hmm.
There's also, by the way, there's another, I just saw this in my notes. So Rocky's son is having these issues with bullies.
Right.
And with the bullies, he also meets this girl who's kind of friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene with them that is among the stranger scenes I think I've seen in a motion picture where, you know, he just got beat up by bullies.
Mm-hmm.
And but the girl kind of sticks around and Rocky's son says to her, I had to watch this twice to write down the dialogue, but because it's you can skip this easily. And he's like says to her, oh, what makes you so different? And the girl says, well, I guess because I want to get out. You know, for an Italian kid. You have a nice butt. What? This is a kid. Like, I was like, where did that come from? Like,
she's into him.
I guess, but it's like it's real out of left field, and like,
especially if Stallone wrote it for his kid.
Yeah. Somebody's got a. Somebody gets somebody. What does he say? Red Letter Media. Somebody's got a severe case of the not gays. They have to write it in to make sure that people don't think the kid is gay. So they have to make sure that there's a girl that's got a thing for him, even though it has nothing to do with advancing the plot whatsoever.
I did also feel that way, that this felt like... Because this movie is credited to Stallone. I have a strong feeling that Stallone wasn't doing the actual writing. Like, probably someone was writing it and Stallone was like, it's going to be my name, but you're getting... And I feel like he was saying to that writer, hey, you know, my son's going to be in this movie. I mean, you know, we got to get him a girlfriend. You know, make it real clear that this girl's into him. I mean, this girl can't be like just kind of liking him. Like, she's got to be into him, you know.
My son has a nice butt. Make sure
that. Probably that writer's like, don't worry, got it. Yeah. I'll check that box, Mr. Stallone. Mm-hmm. And we also, or in another line from Polly that I thought someone was going to say coming in, maybe.
Only get one line, Alex.
You only get one line. But, like, Polly drops this one where something like Stallone's talking to him. I don't know why, because no one likes Polly in this movie. But Polly's like, oh, first chance. I got to get to Miami. Miami needs gigolos. Really? Really?
That sounds like... I want to see a Polly movie, Polly, because Miami needs gigolos.
This movie doesn't even feel like it's from 1990. Like, it feels like it's from, like, 1983. like the height of, like, kind of, like, coke insanity in Hollywood.
Polly's just always in that world.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie, I think, does take place in the 1980s still, so...
Yeah.
Because it's...
Well, I guess... Well, you're right.
Yeah, because I take because... Christmas happens in the movie, so, and the fight happens. Yeah, it's less than a year because the fight in part four is on Christmas Day or Christmas.
Which
Eve.
Bothered me later on because there's a line in the movie later on. I mean, sure, we'll get to it, but we're on Christmas, right. Where Rocky's like, "Remember last Christmas? We all had fun because his kid didn't want to be there."
Oh, that's right.
And like, but last Christmas he was in Russia.
Yeah, you're in Russia.
But I'm in Drago.
Your kid was at home aging 5 years in a weekend
with a robot,
right?
We then kind of get this scene where I think, is this where Rocky brings Tommy Gunn home and
bumps into him again, and Tommy Gunn basically
Tommy's like waiting for him outside of the gym, like, I want another chance, and, you know, I'm hungry like you were, and, you know,
we're from the different streets, but I'm from the streets. Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, you want to come home to dinner? You know, Adrian makes good Italian food, and so he brings him home.
Yeah.
And Adrian's like, what are you doing here?
What are you doing? And they build, this is an interesting scene.
Well, there's a lot of interesting ideas presented that aren't executed well.
That they kind of show that Tommy is this kid who had a pretty traumatic childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he talks about, you know, just that his home life was pretty unstable.
Yeah.
You know, he talks about how his dad was abusive. Uh-huh. You know, at one point he says, the first guy I ever knocked out was my father. Every time I get into the ring, I see him. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, okay, this is pretty dark, but yeah. I'm like, but
makes maybe, for an interesting character,
maybe quirk interesting
to explore
for where this is gonna go.
Of course, they don't explore it properly.
They do not. It never gets explored.
That's the only
after
Tommy Gunn.
Scene.
That's the only Tommy Gunn character scene that I liked, where he talks about his past. And okay, now here's our opportunity. Rocky's gotta either do the good thing and kind of wash this demon out of him through the boxing. Or Rocky's going to try and he's going to fall and make the bad choice, which is what they do in the movie, but it's not, that doesn't factor in anymore after him saying that. That just gives you an idea of, oh, this guy's just another violent guy.
They could have
just comes to his anger.
Yeah.
And Rocky's like a father figure.
He becomes a father figure and then they fight at the end, but they don't really
explore it that well.
They don't really connect those two thoughts.
They don't. And that bothered me through the rest of this movie because. I also don't think Tommy Morrison is bad in this movie.
Yeah,
I think he's fine.
He's got some rough moments, but overall he's pretty.
Overall, I think he's okay.
Yeah,
and the idea of like, wow, like this guy who was pretty theoretically pretty young in this movie and has all this trauma in his life, and that. You know, are people going to help him? Are going to exploit him? Or are they going to help him with that trauma? And at the end of the movie, it's like. No, people exploited him, and the guy who was trying to help him punched him in the face a ton of times and left him for homeless again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, that's actually not cool.
Did you read what Stallone's thought of where Tommy Gunn ends up?
No.
Later on he ends up as like a third-rate wrestler or something, so he really doesn't have any redemption or...
Yeah, and it's kind of, I guess the movie... Well, we'll get to the ending. I kind of want to see. But I'm like, okay. And it's just like, this is kind of like, this movie's a little tough to watch. We're also only 50 minutes into the movie at this point. I was watching this on my phone.
So was I.
Before I could, but for some reason on my phone, it wasn't giving me the runtime. Like the little scroll bar wasn't there. So then I switched to my actual laptop to watch the rest. I thought I was like an hour 20 into this movie. I'm like, I'm only 50 minutes in. Uh-huh. It's been a long 50 minutes.
Yeah, it kind of gets stuck in the mud a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a series of montages where Tommy Gunn is now being trained by Rocky, and he's winning all these fights, and but all the headlines always mention Rocky, like he's Rocky's robot or Rocky's boy or
right. And which you kind of have to think, like, Rocky is the current world champion. Like if you kind of put yourself in that world where you're like, yeah, the current world champion is training a guy, like, sure, that's going to be a part of the storyline. Right. Like,
didn't Duke's guy get the title somehow?
He's a paper champion. Oh, okay. It's basically because Rocky was retired, so they somehow give it to him. But, but he's like the reigning actual champion.
If Rocky's training Tommy Gunn, I don't understand necessarily how the financials work in the boxing world. Forgive me for that ignorance.
You're forgiven, Jack.
I assume if Rocky has taken this guy on as his protege, is training him, is sending him to fights, and he's on the cover of like Sports Illustrated and all these different magazines, Tommy Gunn is, wouldn't Rocky have at least a small cut of that money from his fights where he wouldn't be living in squalor?
I don't think they're making money yet.
I don't think
it makes sense. Well, it does become a plot point, which I appreciate that
there was no formal agreement between Rocky and Tommy.
But I don't think they're not fighting the fights that are making him actual money. That's where Rocky could improve his financial situation.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. That's why he's getting frustrated, because he wants to fight Union Kane, because that's the big ticket.
Yeah.
Big money kind of fight.
Can we also talk about the scene with that priest? Like that priest.
The priest pops up every now and then.
Pops up every now and then.
Yeah.
In this, was it weird for anybody else in that scene that when Tommy and Rocky see the priest, they don't actually see the priest, they just yell at him?
Well, I think
and
that's,
he yells back at them. But
that's
like,
that was in Rocky 1 and probably Rocky 2 too. Like before the big fight, he goes and stands in the street and yells to the priest.
I didn't remember.
It's like that's how
they don't actually go see him. They just go yell at him.
I think I can't remember it's one or two, but he, before his fight with Apollo and one of them, he pulls up to his house and gets out of his car and like just yelling in the street for him. And he comes out and same thing, like throws out a blessing.
That's my fault. I didn't remember that from Rocky 1. I was like, this is weird. Why is everyone just yelling?
Right.
But
yeah, so also during this time in the movie, what's his name? Robert, I guess, the kid, he's training also at the gym to learn how to fight, because he wanted Rocky to show him how to fight, but Rocky's too busy showing Tommy Gunn how to fight. He's not listening to the kid. When the kid's like, I'm getting bullied at school, I want to learn how to do, you know, he's like, and he doesn't want to. He's just not even paying attention to him. So at the same time, he's like training to fight too with some other trainer at the gym.
Yeah. And that's, again, you know, kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah. But it's kind of driving a stake between them, you know, into the relationship again, or a wedge between them, I guess I was meant to say.
Yeah.
Where he's doing this on his own. He has to learn how to do this all on his own because his father's not paying attention to him.
Right.
So when he finally fights the bullies coming up here, the bullies try to take his money or whatever again, and he fights him off and takes his jacket back, and he's like, then they become friends, him and the bully, because the bully respects him.
This is...
Like, the message is, teach your kids how to punch.
It's kind of funny, because I mean, like, this fight for a kid fight is pretty brutal, because this is a Rocky movie. It involves a lot of punches to the face.
Yes.
Like, that little kid gets hit in the face multiple times hard.
Mm-hmm.
When he, and but I was like, okay, but I see that's where the arc of, like, hey, he's standing up for himself.
Right.
And he's, like, not with bullies anymore. But when a few scenes later we see the bullies are chilling in the house watching TV, they're all
watching
friends.
Christmas,
I was like,
Vacation.
Whoa, you basically TKO'd that kid.
Philly, the streets of Philly are tough.
They're tough. Gained
respect. But so after he gets his jacket back, he goes running back to the gym to show his father, like, look, I stood up for myself and fought my bully and got my jacket back. His father's like, oh, that's great. I gotta fight time, or I gotta teach Tommy Gunn some more stuff. So he's like, that's when he's like, okay, this is ridiculous. I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
Change my, you know, start wearing an earring and start smoking. Yeah.
How about, let's talk a little bit about Tommy's first big fight, where Stallone is the manager in the corner, and Tommy's struggling a little bit. And one of, what I wish, this should be like a GIF or something, where Tommy at one point sits down, like, you know, like, what do they call it, you know, break, and he comes, sits down, and he goes,
oh. Just take a break, guys.
Just take a break. Hey, guys, it's a timeout. Yeah. The bell rings, he goes, sits down in the car, he's like, oh, I feel weak. Stallone's response, shut up. It's like, wow.
I'll tell you something Mickey once told me, shut up.
I guess it's just the tough management style. We then get, and it's hard to blame this movie for it or the time, but the Go For It rap song that plays over big portions of this movie.
Yeah, 90s rap, baby.
They could have just used Gonna Fly Now. But
yeah.
They don't use it in the movie at all, really.
No, they don't.
It's the only one without it, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's... So at some point along the line, George Washington Duke is like, I have a plan to get Rocky to fight. He still wants Rocky to fight Union King, I guess, because it'd be like this massive money making fight.
Oh, yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got this plan to like take Tommy Gunn away from him and then turn Tommy Gunn on him. And I don't even know what his plan is, but.
It's Bond villain esque. Like, you never really understand it.
Right.
And there are points at the end where even like, I don't know even if he got what he wanted, if it would have made sense. No. But
none of it did.
Yeah.
I think he was trying to get Tommy Gunn to you know, get Stallone in the ring. You want to fight, you're going to fight Tommy Gunn.
Right. Well, no, that's later on. He wants him to fight Union Kane.
Okay, yeah.
Once Tommy Gunn beats Union Kane, then he wants him to fight Tommy Gunn. Because he's the champion. Yeah. But... so he starts showing up at Tommy Gunn's fights to start like kind of planning in his mind, like, oh, I could get you, I could get you money, and I could get you women, and I could get you fame, and you wouldn't be under Rocky's shadow and everything.
And this is one of the holes in the movie of, I don't really understand how Rocky and Tommy Gunn at this point aren't talking about like, hey, man, like, you know, you can be my trainer, but, you know, should I have like George Washington Duke set up some fights so we can make some money? Right. Or like, there's sort of a hole in the movie here for like, how is this not being addressed at any point? Because Rocky is not a promoter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's only a trainer. And yet...
Well, he was acting as manager too at this point, but he even admitted, he's like, I don't know how to be a manager. So it would have made sense of like, well, I could have this big famous manager guy be my manager, my promoter, and then you can continue to train me. I don't know if Rocky would have wanted to do that, but... I don't see why not.
Or Rocky's actual manager, who is in the beginning of the movie when they come back from Russia, but then who disappears. And I feel like that's pretty convenient because at any point they could have brought that guy in and been like, you know what? Actually, Rocky's going to be your trainer. I'm going to help manage you. And like, but like, it's just this weird like hole through the movie of like, don't look at these things.
I think he does come back in Rocky Balboa though.
He does?
I think he does, right?
The promoter?
No, not the promoter. His trainer or his manager, whatever. The guy in the beginning.
You know, the guy who's his manager for the fight in Russia.
Oh yeah, that guy. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, is
yes.
it cool?
Yes, he is. He's in Rocky Balboa. Absolutely. He's in Rocky 3 too, isn't he?
He's one
of Apollo Creed's guys.
Yeah, he's Apollo.
Because that's one of the deals, and it seems a little bit tasteless now. But one of the bits of Rocky 3 is, you know, Pauly says it, I think, we got to teach you how to fight like a black guy kind of thing. And that's in the movie.
Yeah, totally.
And the seriously. And
they go to like the...
And I wish I remember the character's name. He's a great character. He kind of comes in and like fills like Mickey's shoes. Like, I'm going to teach you to fight. And then him and Apollo kind of...
Okay.
You got to teach him how to move. No, you're not moving right. They start dancing
I'm
and stuff.
I'm excited to hear that guy's back in Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
I like that guy a lot. Okay. More reasons for me to see Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Wow. And maybe we can jump to the Christmas scene, which Cody talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
The scene where Pauly comes down the stairs as Santa is one of the most depressing things I've seen in my life.
Well, I don't
it
know
is
what
one
this
of the
is.
Most depressing things in this movie, and it's a depressing
Anything
movie.
Anything with Pauly in it is just depressing.
It's really, he drinks out of a flask disguised as binoculars at one point indoors. I mean, I was like, oh, I'm like... God, I mean, this is just a cloudy day of a movie.
Yeah, the whole scene is kind of a bummer because Rocky's all like, you know, hyped about Christmas and he wants to have this good family Christmas, and, you know, everyone else miserable because he's treating them all miserably.
Pauly calls one of the kid's friends chubby.
Well, that's after he calls him, because the kid calls him a 90-proof, or was it 90%?
90-proof Santa.
Oh, 90-proof Santa.
And then he goes, move over, chubby.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Like, they imply that this is like a family tradition. like Uncle Polly dresses like Santa and insults everybody.
Yeah, no, and Polly has no interest. He's like just turns on the TV and wants to watch TV, and Rocky's all like, "Come on, let's have a, you know, a good family Christmas. We have fun every year. We're
like last year. And remember like last year when Polly came down the stairs? Oh wait, I was in Russia. Yeah. Oh,
and so yeah, and the kid's like, because his friends are over and his father's embarrassing him in front of his friends. Like, I don't want to do this. I'm out of here. Whatever. So he like gets up and leaves, and the kids storm out. Whatever. And yeah.
And Rocky's like, oh, what's wrong? What, yeah. Nothing weird about any of this to me.
Right.
I'm like, this is real weird.
And then like it like happens with every family Rocky Balboa fight in this movie, George Washington Carver and Tommy Gunn pop up. Not Washington Carver. George yeah. Washington Duke.
Yeah.
And Tommy Gunn pop in. They just show up at the house after the kid leaves, and Duke has like these gifts for him, and Tommy, and I think this is where Tommy Gunn's like, listen, Duke, because by this point Duke's giving him like a car and like an apartment and this redhead or whatever this is hanging out with him, and
yeah,
and so he's like, listen, I think I'm gonna go with Duke on this. I think we're done. And then Rocky has like a meltdown in the middle of the street.
Well, and again, we're and it's just, it doesn't make sense that at no point they don't just, he doesn't say like, hey man, I'd like you to keep training me, but I think I've got a real chance to make some money here. And Rocky doesn't say, oh, you do have a chance to make some money. Let me continue to train you. Let me see if I can help you. Like,
right.
This doesn't apply to or occur to anybody is just bizarre.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, okay.
He actually chases him down the street. Yeah. While he's driving.
And then he and Adrian have a fight out in the street about, because he's ashamed that he's not making money or that, you know, he's losing this opportunity or whatever. And
yeah.
And Adrian's fighting because she's like, just stop being an idiot.
And she's like, Rocky, you're losing your family.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, Yeah, he is. Yeah,
that's why he's like, okay, I should go find my son and talk to my son,
and we get the revelation: Rocky's son is smoking.
Yeah,
as Rocky comes and finds him, Rocky is unfazed by this, unfazed by a kid who is somewhere between 9 and 14 years old, depending on your. I'm like, wow. I mean,
this was bizarre because earlier in the movie, his son sees him smoking because he like takes up smoking again. He's like, oh, since when did you start smoking? He's like, oh, you know, it's an old habit, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And in this scene, he finds his son smoking, and his son's like, what, didn't you ever smoke? And I was like, you saw him smoke like 3 weeks ago. Like,
yeah,
you could have thrown that back in his face, but you're acting like you've never seen him smoke.
I just like the casual nature of like, yo, kid, when did you start smoking?
Yeah. Well, I think at this point, he's like, he didn't want to start a fight with his son because he's already followed his son. He's trying to make up with him.
Right.
Well, so he's trying to be cool.
The movie only gives them about 3 minutes to wrap up the storyline that I think we would agree is actually the storyline at the heart of the movie
until this point. That's the movie.
But they want to wrap it up to get to the fight.
They then just wrap up that storyline in a 3-minute conversation outside a convenience store, and it's like, everything's cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to another movie.
Like, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
So it moves on to now Tommy Gunn is fighting. He's going to have a fight with Union Kane.
Yeah.
And it's on TV. And so Rocky's watching it with Polly in the basement.
And it's a weird scene. The scene is weird.
Rocky's really getting into it.
Rocky is still like, you know, he still takes pride in this kid and you know, associates with him, whatever. So he like wants to see him do well, and he's like excited about him fighting, you know, winning the championship, whatever, and Polly and Adrian and I think the son too are all like not into it. They're like, we just want to see him lose because he's a D-bag, and Rocky's like not seeing this, that the kid is, you know, turned his back on him and was, you know, unloyal to him, whatever. And Rocky's still like, yeah, Tommy Gunn. So as he's watching the fight, he's like punching the body bag and like yelling out commands to Tommy Gunn as though he's in the corner. And
he's too into it. Everyone else is like super depressed.
Yeah.
And then the scene when the fight is over, this scene should be analyzed like the Zapruder film because it's so strange and clearly shows that this movie was being rewritten as they were shooting it, because it is like a funeral in this basement as they're watching this. Everyone, Polly's like, I just gotta go out drinking. Everyone is like super depressed. Sylvester Stallone says like weird things to people
his brain.
I think the part of the scene was supposed to be some of the brain damage stuff because he kind of repeats himself a couple times with the kid and he's kind of like a little dopey. But the reason they're all depressed is because at the end of the fight, Tommy Gunn says, oh, I have to thank, you know, like on, you know, on TV, he's like, I have to thank the man who got me here, you know, trained me, blah, 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 George right. Washington Duke. And then Rocky's like kind of sad about that. And Adrian's pissed about it. And Paulie's pissed about it.
And they're pissed. So Rocky's like, I'm going to go to the bar with Paulie. And the way he actually leaves this scene, I'm convinced this was shot when the intention, when they were still shooting, like he was going to die in the fight at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he leaves like very weirdly with, like...
Yeah,
like,
it's like, don't stay up too late, son.
You know,
yeah.
Don't stay up too late in case I never see you right. again. It's basically
I'll
like...
I'll be back soon.
And I was like, who leaves like this? Right. Like, you know, you would think he's... leaving for his death, right. But he's just going to have a drink with Pauly.
Which, yeah, Pauly's a maniac, so you never know.
Yeah. Well, Pauly's, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. And that robot then, is becoming a hunter killer droid. It's hiding somewhere in the house.
Judgment Day is upon us.
Yeah. Or Pauly could say something racist in front of the wrong people.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We now then get one more classic Rocky movie press conference.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
With Tommy Gunn and George Washington Duke. Now, to set the stage for this press conference, all Tommy Gunn has done is just,
won the championship.
Won the championship.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would think that he had done something wrong. Like, yeah. Like you would think that he had literally, like, gone in and punched out Mother Teresa from the attitude of the press in this scene.
Yeah. And I just realized this fight is in Philly.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it should be in, like, Vegas or something. Oh, yeah. In Philly, like, this big championship fight.
Yeah.
So then, of course, everyone in the crowd is
on Rocky's side.
Rocky's side is cheering for Rocky, and they're booing Tommy Gunn because they know Tommy Gunn.
In the fight, they boo him. He wins, right. And everyone's like, boo. Well,
they
like,
boo him why? When he comes
shouldn't
out.
They cause cheering?
They, no, because they know that he turned his back on Rocky.
Okay.
So they're they're loyal to Rocky, so they're booing him. So then he wins, and they're booing him. And then the press conference, all the press is like,
well, they're like
very aggressive.
You need to
him.
Fight some real matches. Right. And I'm like, he just fought for the championship.
Yeah, I know.
And the other one's like, oh, Tommy fought a second-rate fighter with glass in his jaw. And yeah. I'm like, again, he just.
You're better luck fighting the redhead in the front row. Yeah, like, I think this is the scene where he said that.
Brutal.
Yeah. What is going on here?
This is ridiculous.
Well, it's kind of like when Rocky finds out in, I think, Rocky 3 that he's been, the fights that have been set up for him are kind of like easy matches.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to keep him.
Yeah. And that's why setting he him fights, up with easy fights.
That's why he fights Mr. T, is because he's like, he needs this real fight.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then somehow he comes out of this. I don't remember if it's, I think it's, is it George Washington Duke or is it a reporter who says, like, you need to fight Balboa man to man?
Well, no, it's, so this is all part of Duke's manipulation because he's like, someone in the audience says, like, you know, you'll never be as good as Rocky Balboa and or you're not as good as him or whatever. And Duke in front of Tommy Gunn says, like, well, you know, yeah, let's be honest. Rocky Balboa was the best there ever was, and Tommy Gunn is no Rocky Balboa, and he'll never be Rocky Balboa.
Right.
So Tommy Gunn's like, I am better than Rocky Balboa, and I'll prove it. I'm going to fight him. And George Washington's like, well, I don't know. Like, you're not as good as him. I don't know if you should do that.
There's some reason when you said that, right. I pictured the camera pulling out, and the actual George Washington is sitting there.
And so he's like, no, I'm going to go find him right now, and I'm going to challenge him to a fight. And so he leaves the arena, whatever, and he goes to the dive bar where he just knows that Rocky is.
Right.
Followed by a TV crew, by the way.
TV crew. I hate it when they get live TV wrong in movies, and this is it.
Yeah. This is weird.
It's coming up.
He comes in, and he's, like, very, you know, antagonistic with Rocky,
mm-hmm.
who Rocky is oddly kind of zen.
And yeah, Rocky just wants, like, to play some pinball and shoot some 8-ball.
Hey, I'm just here. I mean, my hat still fits. I mean, you know, I'm here.
Your hat fits, you go away.
Yeah. And then at one point, I liked how, like, Tommy Morrison is like, I ain't nobody's robot. And I'm like, okay. All right.
You want to be Polly's robot?
Yeah. It's like, robots have a bad history in this franchise.
He lost his in the estate sale. So.
Yeah. And the movie ends up hinging on Polly. Because Polly says, like, kind of starts mouthing back to Tommy Gunn and being like, you're a dirtbag. Like,
this guy taught
sweat
you.
Blood for you.
Right.
And,
yeah.
He sweat blood.
And he says something like that. Like,
he did
blood,
say
sweat,
something. Yeah, he said something weird like that. There was like a weird Polly line. And then so Tommy Morrison hits Polly.
Yeah. Well, Polly pushes him first and then he gets punched in the face.
Oh, that's right. And then,
which isn't the first time that Polly's gotten punched in the face in the series for saying something dumb.
Probably should be hit in the face more.
At least once a movie, yeah.
And then
I think Rocky even hits him in the face at one point, doesn't he? Like Rocky 4. Is it 4? I think, or maybe it's 3 where he punches Polly in the face like a parking garage.
I think it's 3.
Yeah, I think it's 3. Yeah.
I got to watch him on that.
Because Polly destroys a Rocky pinball machine.
Oh, that's right. Anyways. Yeah. But then we get the line where, like, you know, somebody's like, oh, we got to fight in the ring. And Rocky's like, oh, my ring is outside.
Okay.
Okay. So.
The idea, again, this is an idea that's okay, but I don't know if it works in the movie, is Rocky in a street fight.
Yes.
But I would have maybe the kids say it. No, I'm tired of this. I don't care about any titles. I'm taking you on right now. Like, all right, let's do it. Like, I think that's kind of a cool idea. Getting Rocky out of the ring for at least one of the movies. I don't think this is a good movie, particularly for a Rocky film anyway.
I would have liked the scene if it didn't go on. Like, I feel like if it was just like, okay, come outside, and he just... It's just that first part of the fight where he just kicks the crap out of the kid.
This fight is so long. This is the second longest alley fight we've seen in the show. I mean,
one's been forced to put on a pair of sunglasses.
Yeah. I mean, they looked at this and was like, we did it better.
They did.
But if it was just like he takes down the street and just kicks the snot out of him and is like, you know, yeah, I'm the real deal, and then leaves, I think that would have been
a
better end fight to the movie if he just like kicked the crap out of him.
But
instead he kicks crap out of him, then he gets back up, then he kicks the crap out of Rocky,
then he has visions of Ivan Drago because his brain is flashing.
We get zoom ins on Burgess Meredith,
and then he's like, one more round, and then they go one more round,
yeah
and then he kicks the crap out of him again.
And I, this is where I want to say, this is the alternate ending that I would propose for this movie, and I think would have been more interesting if during this fight Tommy had realized, like, hey, wait a minute, I am being manipulated. And if during this fight, Rocky had realized, I can't be fighting anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had basically come to a weird piece of like, no, George Washington Duke is the enemy.
Right.
And the two of them had turned
the crap out
George Washington Duke and his goons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would have been like, that actually would have been kind of satisfying.
Yeah.
And then maybe could have transitioned into Rocky being like, you know what, kid, let's work together. I'm going to be your man. You know, let me help you.
And then like the movie ends with like a magazine cover or something with Tommy Gunn holding it up. And then the quote, I couldn't have made it without Rocky or something.
And Stallone comfortable that his fighting days are in his past and ready to move into like another stage of... But it doesn't go that way.
No, of course not.
It just is like, you know, and by the way, George Washington Dukes, his motivations during this, at first he's like, okay, so he clearly wants Tommy to challenge Rocky to a fight in a ring.
But he doesn't want him to fight him in the street.
Doesn't want him to fight him in the street.
Yeah.
But then the fight in the street starts, and then George Washington
Duke is like... And there's a camera there live.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's also live on TV.
Like, win. Yeah, so then he's like...
Well, because at this point he's like, they're already fighting, so he's like, if you lose this fight, you're done. There's no one's going to, you know, pay for you to fight if you lost a street fight to Rocky Balboa.
Right. Exactly.
So at this point, he's like, now you better win.
Now you better
win. I think he ever says it. He's like, you better win since you started this.
And
so there's a camera crew there. They're just live. Whatever station they're from
just takes
a bar fight live on the air.
Yep.
Can you imagine? I thought of that as I was watching it. What would be the lower third graphic? Like Rocky Balboa in street fight live, you know?
We interrupt this broadcast of Wheel of Fortune to...
Can you imagine if you're the anchors on the set? You're like, we're going to cut now to live footage of a street fight.
Mortal Kombat!
And that's only so that... I guess there's twofold. So that when Tommy Gunn loses, like, everyone sees him lose, but also so that his son can see him fighting on TV and be like, Mom, Dad's fighting in the street.
They cut to an Adrian's face. Yeah. She's like, what?
Why won't he stop fighting?
Yeah.
So then they run out, and then his son's cheering him on from the sidelines, like,
yeah,
like, beat him up, Dad.
Yeah. And he wins.
That guy stole my bedroom.
And then, you know, George Washington Duke's like, touch me and I'll sue. And then Rocky still punches him because he's like, sue me for what?
Yeah, I have nothing.
Sue me for what? My accountant took everything. I mean, we are trying to get that money back. And I mean, there's pretty good chance we reclaim.
You could take the gym that I do own. And,
yeah, I do own that gym. I mean, I'm probably my name rights are worth a lot. I mean, hold on, I got to crunch some numbers over here. And then the movie ends, and we never really find out.
Yeah, well, you get the last scene where he and his son actually run up the steps.
I do kind of like this
scene. Yeah, and then he gives his son the... We didn't mention he's got this necklace that Rocky Marciano gave to Mickey when Mickey was younger, and then he gave it to Rocky in the flashback scene, and then Rocky tried to give it to Tommy Gunn, or he was going to give it to Tommy Gunn, and Adrian's like, what the hell are you doing? Like, why are you giving that to Tommy Gunn? Yeah. So in this scene, he gives it to his son, and his son is super happy.
I kind of liked this scene.
I did like this scene.
That was a nice scene.
For a movie,
if this were a better movie and that's where the film ended.
Yeah. Because his son is taking him to like a museum. You know, they're doing the stuff together again.
We ran up the steps to get your body in peak condition. Now we're going to go into the museum to get your mind in peak condition, I guess.
And kind of the idea of like when we saw Rocky originally running these steps, he was, you know, training for this big fight. And now he's running these steps because he's going into the museum with his son.
And he actually says that, like, I've run up these steps for years. And I never knew there's a museum up here.
Yeah. I mean,
I wonder if
this scene is almost like everything I wanted this movie to be. Of like, it's a little charming, it's a little witty, it's actually like a nice capper on this series. It's you know, it's everything the rest of the movie kind of is not,
right?
But kind of charming. It was a nice, this movie probably, I think, well, let's go into, is it so bad it's good, or like, well, Cody, you go first. You're the biggest Rocky fan. Well, maybe either you or Jack are the biggest Rocky
fans. I've seen them all a bunch of times. I've seen this one plenty of times. I think it's the bad Rocky movie, but I wouldn't say it's a bad movie. I think it gets a lot more hate than it deserves. I think if you watch, but I mean, 2 and 3 they're good Rocky movies, but they're crazy movies. You know what I mean? Or I'm sorry, 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're, you know, like, you know, the best movies in the world or anything, but as a series, you know, for it to wrap up like this, it was kind of a downer. I'm glad they did Rocky Balboa to kind of bring it back up, and then the new Creed movies. So I wouldn't say it's so bad as good. I just think it's a decent movie that's just kind of done poorly in a lot of places.
Yeah, I mean, before I go to Jack, I mean, I'll just chime in and say, like, there's interesting ideas introduced in this movie. There's moments that are okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's, like, stuff in here that does work, and maybe this movie does get a bad rap. We have seen many movies much worse than this on this show.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when this movie swings and misses, it misses big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it also is unwilling, it's willing to introduce the brain damage issue, but then unwilling to deal with it substantially.
Right.
Which hurts this movie in a lot of ways, I think. Yeah. But it's it's. I don't know. It gets a bad rap. I'm not gonna say it's good, but it's kind of okay.
And yeah, like, somebody, I could sit down and watch it and be fine. I'm not like suffering through it or anything.
Yeah, it's a little long.
Yeah,
long for me. Mm-hmm. But there's stuff in it that I kind of liked, and I don't know. This is a weird one, but it's disappointing. Yeah. I'm gonna label it as disappointing.
Yeah. Well, I will say that I read that when asked to rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 10, Stallone gave it a 0.
Wow. Okay. So,
really?
Seems harsh for a guy who wrote this movie.
So I don't think he was happy with it, or just kind of went along with the discourse against it. But I don't know.
But yeah, you know. But Stallone also kind of has a history of like throwing people under the bus a little bit, and like not really, for the amount of influence he had, you can't. Stallone cannot completely blame others. He was the star of this movie. He was the screenwriter of this movie. He clearly
handled the director.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he wielded a ton of power on this movie. And I think he definitely has to take some responsibility for that. And, and also, it's not, this movie's not a 0. I mean, that's unfair. Jack, your thoughts.
I think if this movie had nothing to do with Rocky and were just a different movie about a boxer, say Tommy Gunn, Million to One Shot, and that was the name of the movie, and it had the same cast except for whatever the title of the movie should have been, and the movie were about the Tommy Gunn character getting into the boxing world and being manipulated by the Don King character, it would be the same movie, and it would not have been good, but it would not have gotten as much hate as it's gotten. I think the fact that it's a Rocky movie with Rocky in it, there's a standard of quality that's expected, or at least an entertainment value that's expected, that this movie doesn't have. It's full of... But again, as I think both of you also said in different ways that the movie has. You can make a really, really, really good Rocky movie out of every idea that's presented in this script. The young boxer's trained by Rocky and falls from grace. The promoter is getting in there and meddling. Rocky loses his money. He has a strange relationship with his son, and now he's got to face his pride head on when he's forced to live back in the old neighborhood. You can take those five ideas and write a really, really good Rocky movie, but they didn't.
A lot of the ideas in this movie are...
A brain damage, too. That's six ideas.
Yeah, a lot of those ideas are done in Rocky Balboa and Creed, where, you know, in Rocky Balboa, he's, you know, living in the same place, and he's running the restaurant, he has issues with a kid, and there's redemption there, and he's trying to get back in fighting. And then Creed, the young, you know, this in that case, because he's Creed's, Apollo Creed's son, he has some connection to Rocky, but he's young up-and-comer who wants to fight and wants Rocky to train him, and Rocky's like, I don't know, and he convinces him. And so those ideas are done better in the future movies, but...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would agree. And I really would still go and say, if they had cleaned up the ending to the point where, like, they kind of brought Tommy Gunn's storyline together, if they had actually brought, even as disconnected as they are throughout the film, if they had brought it together better, I would probably even come out and say, like, yeah, this is a borderline good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that...
Yeah, I think I really think the end is what brings it down.
Yeah.
That's what really makes it
seen as a bad movie. I don't know, with a couple of changes. Yeah. A time skip between the return to Russia and the financial loss to account for the child aging, to account for more time for them to have resettled their lives, A. B, greater focus on the brain damage issue, and C, Tommy Gunn being a little bit more into focus instead of just being there to be an antagonist.
Yeah.
And a better ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you would have a movie that people would have been like, yeah, you know, this is the end of the Rocky franchise, but then we probably wouldn't get Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Which was a very, very good movie, and I liked it a lot.
Maybe in a weird way, everything did turn out right. Like, you're right. Cody's right. Like, in a weird way, this was a placeholder until we actually got the movies that this show needed. Yeah.
Franchise needed,
You need to see Rocky Balboa.
I do need to see Rocky Balboa.
I need to see Creed.
Yeah. I need to see Rocky Balboa and Creed. And I am... As a guy who has not seen Creed, but who needs to, I'm also terrified by the Creed 2 is going to have Dolph Lundgren in it. So I'm nervous that Creed is now going to delve into like kind of crazy Rocky sequel territory. Yeah. But
those are fun,
but maybe not. You know, yeah.
Well, will this be? I wonder if there'll be five of these. If there'll be like Creed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then a new generation will be talking about the Creed movies. Yeah. I think that's the idea, right?
Adonis Creed will be the sixth one in 20 years,
and then Adonis Creed will be the sixth one in 20 years. No, I do it.
I thought as I was wrapping up, if you had said to people, would you believe there are going to be three more Rocky sequels after this? If you said to people in 1990, there's going to be three more Rocky sequels, people would be like, oh my God. You
know? Yeah, you're right, though.
Or if you had said...
But that they're working. At least
there's going to be three more Rocky sequels, and two of them are going to be internationally acclaimed. Right. You know?
Yeah.
That's going to be Rocky's in his, what, 60s?
Yeah. Wow. Well, I think that brings this one to a close. We've got more crazy movies to come. And as always, like us on Facebook and get all of our updates there. Okay. All right. See you next time. Bye.